This is the Afternoon Magazine from Illinois Public Media. I'm Celeste Quinn. Each month, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank provides food to more than 43,000 people in Eastern Illinois through cooperation with a network of food pantries, agencies, and other programs. The food bank is very much involved with the communities it serves. Jim Hires is the food bank's executive director. The food bank's director of marketing and development is Cheryl Precious. And they're with me here in the studio this afternoon to talk about some of the food bank's activities this summer. Jim, Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you,
Celeste. It's good to see you. Jim, the last time you were on the program about 1 year ago, we talked about the rise in demand that you'd seen. In the newscast just a few minutes ago, we heard that food stamp applications in Illinois are way up. So that tells me that we have a great deal of need.
We certainly have, and we thought, you know, as the economy improved that things would get better, but it's going to take a long time for those people who need services from pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters to catch up with that improvement, and we will probably continue to see a rise.
Yeah, okay. In the counties you serve, how many people are hungry? How many people are in need?
Well, you know, about 70 to 75,000 people live in poverty in our 14 counties. But the people who are in need are obviously a lot more than that. We serve over 103,000 different people last year. That's about between 40 and 45,000 people each month. Of course, that's an unduplicated count. Particularly with the summertime, it seems to jump. We jump about 10% in the summer months over the rest of the year.
Why is summertime a peak period for you?
Well, you stop and think about it. When students are in school, there are free breakfast and free lunch programs, and many of those students don't have access to summer feeding programs, so those numbers do go up over the summer.
Okay. Listeners may be familiar with the experience the Salt and Light Pantry had this spring and summer. Demand was way up and the shelves were bare, and they just finished a successful fundraiser. What are you hearing from other pantries, agencies, programs that you serve?
There is an increased need in almost every corner of our 14 counties, particularly in rural areas where there aren't as many pantries or facilities for people to visit. They've had to really get imaginative in terms of how they get food to people. For example, in one of our counties, we lost a food pantry. We've supplemented that with a monthly mobile food pantry since probably last fall. And otherwise, that county would not be served.
Hmm. And what kinds of foodstuffs do you provide?
We provide the entire range of food. Dry product, obviously, is the biggest thing that we provide, that's shelf-stable food. But there's been a big push on our side to provide a more nutritionally dense food to our agencies, and that's required, obviously, a big increase in produce. We did about 800,000 pounds of produce this year. About 10 to 11% of our total was mm-hmm. fresh produce, which we're very excited about. We want to try to do 12 to 14% next year of the total that we do, of the 6.4 million pounds.
Yeah. Cheryl, last time Jim was here, we talked about how large corporate donations of food had gone down. And so I'm wondering, have communities stepped up, both in terms of donations of food, of funding, of volunteer help?
Absolutely, Celeste, they have in all of those areas you just named. And what's really happening is sort of this paradox that we're seeing over the last 5-10 years. We're seeing a steady increase in demand for a lot of reasons. I mean, certainly recently the recession has driven some of that, but we've really been seeing huge increases even before the recession because agencies are building their capacity, they're able to serve more people, we're all working together better to get the word out of the availability of these types of programs. But kind of concurrent with that, we're seeing manufacturers get more efficient at their manufacturing process. And so we're getting less of the leftover food that they can't move or they can't sell to the retailers.
Has there also been a pullback in terms of what state and local agencies can do, given their budgetary constraints?
Certainly. I think I think that the fiscal crisis in the state has certainly put a strain on a lot of agencies that rely on state funding. Luckily, a lot of the agencies that we work with don't heavily rely on state funding. And the beautiful thing about the food bank is we work with so many different agencies, and really, you know, it's really our job to keep the cost down so low that it makes, you know, makes it much easier for those agencies to access food and get that food out to clients who need it.
Jim, how important are volunteers to the food bank and the pantries that it serves?
Well, we would not exist if it weren't for volunteers. Last year, we used over 500 different volunteers at the food bank, and anywhere between 6,000 and 8,000 hours. We haven't got those totals for the last fiscal year, but it's extraordinary. 90% of all the food pantries and shelters and programs are volunteer run. And so they rely strictly on volunteers. Our staff, we only have roughly 13 paid staff to move all the food we do, but we deliver that to people who are there because they want to be.
Yeah. Well, speaking of volunteers, there's an event coming up Saturday when volunteers will gather at Urbana Middle School, an event called Kids Against Hunger. What's the goal of Kids Against Hunger? How does it work?
So kind of, speaking about the decline in our food source, you know, in the food amount of food available through our traditional manufacturer sources, this is one way that the community has really stepped forward and come up with a very creative, out-of-the-box solution to our shrinking food source. And that is to essentially package, their goal is to package 50,000 fortified rice casserole meals on Saturday. And it's a partnership between the Rotary Clubs here locally and a lot of other service organizations who are providing funding. And about 150 volunteers from all those service organizations will come for about 2 or 2.5 hours and package these meals to be then distributed locally throughout our network.
Okay. Speaking of kids, tell us about the backpack program.
Well, the backpack program is a great program. We started a little over 5 years ago with the help of the Junior League of Champaign-Urbana. It has grown from 50 students to well over 400 students this next year. We're now reaching far past Champaign County into our outlying areas and rural areas. It provides a backpack full of nutritious food for students over the weekend who have been identified by the school as those students in critical need. And this year, fortunately, we're involved in a study to determine the empirical impact of what that's done for students. And we'll be having that data out hopefully by fall.
Yeah. Now, it was reported in the News Gazette last Saturday that you received a very nice gift from a new Champaign-Urbana not-for-profit organization called For Osprey. What does that gift mean for the backpack program?
Well, it takes us to the level that we've really wanted to go with providing nutrition for students and for children over the weekend. When Backpack first began, we filled that backpack with donated food, just what we had from manufacturers. But as it's grown, we've seen the need to make sure the nutritionally dense food is there. It's not just about filling kids' stomachs. It's about filling it with the right kinds of things. Mm. For Osprey and Ecofluent being the arm of For Osprey that's providing organic snacks this year for the food for the backpack program, approached us midwinter and talked about this project. We were so excited, and we're hoping that it's just the beginning of a great relationship with an organization like that.
Okay. And speaking of nutrition, one more, the last thing we can talk about today, and we'll have to do it quickly, is the garden project. Mm-hmm. Where is it? What's growing in it? And is this the first year?
This is the first year. The project is called Provena's Garden for Every Table, and that's because Provena is actually sort of granting us some land to basically have a community garden. And really their broader goal is to help increase access to nutritious fresh produce for low-income families. So in its inaugural year, we just harvested corn, sweet corn, and next year we're hoping to expand to some a much more diverse array of vegetables and continue to expand the project in future years.
Okay. And if people are listening this afternoon and say, I want to get involved with either the food bank or other agencies that come to the food bank in that network, how can they do that?
The best place is our website, which is eifoodbank.org. They can also call us at 328-3663, and we're happy to find out what their volunteer preferences are. We are looking for folks to help us plan the garden next year in particular, so we would welcome anyone who's interested in being involved in the planning process, and we have ongoing volunteer activities throughout the year.
Okay, very good. And also there will be a link from our website to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and our website, of course, Will, that's will.illinois.edu. Jim, Cheryl, thanks so much.
Thank you, Celeste.